We are aboard the Earthship Solar One as it nears its destination, the Sun. Its mission? Let's listen in and find out.
Full stop, Captain.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Earth Control, this is Captain Graham aboard Solar One. Come in, please.
Nova here. Back at you, Alan. How are things going?
Uneventful so far. We've reached Checkpoint Alpha and we've come to a dead stop. Once we proceed, communications with you will become impossible because of solar interference.
We expected that. How are the particle shields holding up?
Fine. I have Science Officer Asher keeping a close eye on them. So far, temperature increases have been within anticipated ranges. Nothing the shields can't handle.
That's good to hear. Those buggers were kind of tricky.
How are things going back on Earth?
Not well. The degradation is constant. It's gone down to Class D on Professor Johansson's scale.
D? Already?
We're expecting a temp of 31 Fahrenheit today. That may not be bad for New England in winter, but it's unheard of for Florida in July.
Do the scientists have any further information for us of what to expect?
None. We've given you every piece of equipment we can think of that might do the job. We've tried to cover every base possible. Alan, we're counting on you and your crew. Unless you can figure out what's causing this rapid loss of solar output, stop it and hopefully reverse it. There will be nothing for you and your people to come back to but an ice cube.
The crew of Solar One is facing a massive dilemma. The sun's energy output, for some undetectable reason, is diminishing and shows no sign of stopping. This decrease is causing severe weather and power problems back on Earth. Captain Alan Graham and his crew of 49 must solve this predicament before the sun becomes a lifeless star, hanging in space with the Earth as one of its frozen orbiting worlds. Tonight's tale, Partly Sunny, will return in a moment.
As I stand in the control center of my ship, looking out at the approaching glowing sphere of the sun, my mind wanders back to how all this began not so very long ago and why my crew and I are on this mission. It was Powers at Palo Alto that first noticed the problem.
Professor Johansson, can you come here please, sir?
What is it, Carl?
Look at these solar readings.
Is something concerning you?
Yes, solar energy output. It's decreasing measurably. See here?
That's true, son, but there always tends to be ebb and flow in that department.
That's just the problem. It's been all ebb, no flow. Look at these readings from 2 days ago. There's been a steady decrease. No increase at all.
You're right. The figures don't lie. Good work!
What does it mean, Professor?
I can't be certain, but I think I should bring your findings to Mr. Harper's attention.
Is this something to be concerned about?
I sincerely hope not, Mr. Powers.
And so the problem became public. Newspaper headlines and TV talk shows screamed about the end of the world. Religious broadcasters told everyone to be prepared for the second coming.
None of the world's scientists could explain the continuing decrease in the sun's output or agree if there was a cause for concern. Professor Johansson of the Palo Alto Observatory developed a lettered scale, which looked much like a thermometer, to track the decrease. The problem eventually made its way to the Oval Office.
Do you believe this could cause a problem here on Earth, Professor?
I do, Madam President. Our world's dependency on solar power will most certainly be affected, likely soon. Eventually, temperatures will drop around the world.
Can we do anything about the problem from Earth?
No, the sun is simply too far away. 93 million miles.
Could we launch some sort of probe towards the sun to rectify things?
Not without understanding the problem, ma'am. We wouldn't know what to program the probe to do. Some of the world's best scientists are hard at work right now, and They can't discover why the drain is occurring at all. They're as baffled as I am.
Do we have equipment which might help?
We have machinery which can fix many of the troubles that are potentially causing the drain, but we're too far away to get an accurate reading of the cause. We can't know what equipment to use, and without an accurate diagnosis of the cause, any machinery we might select is at best worthless, and at worst even more harmful.
What you're saying, Professor, is that we need people close to the problem who can make human decisions based on a human diagnosis.
Exactly.
Then we'll have to launch a mission to the sun, and quickly.
Agreed.
You just volunteered for that assignment.
Yes, ma'am.
This is top priority. My chief of staff will set you up with whatever and whoever you need.
I'd like to pick the captain of the vessel.
That's your call. I trust your judgment. Who are you thinking of?
Sit down, Captain.
Yes, sir.
I suppose you're wondering why I called you here.
Yes, sir, I am.
I bet you're also wondering why I've cleared your schedule for the immediate future.
I was curious.
Alan, for the 2 months or so, you're working for Professor Johansson and me.
Yes, sir. Doing what?
I'm sure you've heard of the Solar One project.
Of course. It's been all over the news.
The ship is nearly ready for launch. We're scheduling the blastoff for Saturday at 1400 hours.
And you and the professor want me to be part of the Earth Control ground crew?
No. We want you to captain the Solar One.
Me?
Johansson and I have nothing but the utmost faith in you. We know you'll do a fine job. You'll have 49 men and women under you.
I'm flattered. Then I take it the problem with the particle shields has been solved?
Yes. The Israeli scientists fixed the glitch.
Good.
If you want any certain crew members, let me know. We've already secured the services of Brett Asher as your science officer and Paul Hamilton as your pilot.
They're both good men, General. I'm sure the crew you've assembled will be just fine. I accept the assignment.
Good man. Get yourself over to Launchpad 3. Professor Johansson is waiting for you. Godspeed, Alan.
And that's how I became involved in the project. With intense international cooperation that can sadly come only from an impending planetary crisis, the ship was fully staffed and equipped within days. On Saturday afternoon, with much pomp and lots of prayers...
-5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And so we come to this moment, approaching the diminishing sun at undreamt of speeds on a mission to save a planet.
Captain, I'm picking something up at the long range of our scanners.
Identity, Asher?
Tough to say at this point. Initial readings suggest a fairly large metallic object.
What's the plot?
Sector 12, grid 3.
Hamilton, put that plot up on the view screen and give me maximum magnification.
Yes, sir.
It's a spacecraft?
What's another ship doing out here?
It doesn't resemble any Earth ship I've ever seen.
Aliens?
It would seem that way.
Do you see that faint beam of light rising from the sun's surface to the ship?
It looks like a straw.
Good comparison, Lieutenant. Is that possible, Brett? Might these aliens be siphoning off the sun's power for their own use?
It's possible. It would certainly explain the problem. I won't be able to get any definitive readings on exactly what they're doing till we get closer.
Are we in communications range yet?
No, sir. Not for another 8 minutes.
Notify me the second we are.
Yes, Captain.
The captain of that ship and I need to have a little chat.
In range, sir. I've opened up a communications channel. Translation cipher is active.
Unidentified vessel, this is Captain Alan Graham of the Solar One. Please respond.
Captain, this is Commander Venn of the Graham. How may I help you?
I need to speak with you about what you're doing.
Doing?
Draining the sun's power.
Oh, you mean a feeding.
I don't understand.
Captain, perhaps it would be best if the two of us had a one-on-one conversation aboard the Braille. There are certain things we Medlac prefer to keep as private as possible.
I would appreciate that.
Do you see the docking port on the starboard side of our vessel? The plot is Sector 13, Grid 1.
Hamilton.
Yes, sir, I've got it. We should have no problem linking up there.
I will meet you at the docking bay as soon as the link-up is complete. Until then.
Plot the course, Lieutenant. Maximum safe speed.
Yes, Captain.
I'll need a portable translation cipher for my visit.
I'll get you one as soon as we dock.
Thank you.
At least they seem friendly.
True, but we still have to get them to stop what they're doing. They may not like that.
Did Vin say beaten?
That's what it sounded like. While I'm gone, I want you to analyze the beam they're using and the effect it's having on the sun. See if there's a way we could disable it.
Will do. Best of luck, Captain. I hope these Medlac remain friendly.
You and me both. Hamilton maneuvered the Solar One to within docking distance of the Prowl and locked on. The computer reported that the air on the Medlac ship was nearly identical to our own, though slightly richer in oxygen content. As I walked through the docking port tube to the Medlac ship, I activated the translation cipher on my belt and wondered what I would find on the other side of the door.
Welcome, Captain Graham, to the Medlac vessel, Braille. I am Commander Venn.
I'm not sure what I had expected, but Venn wasn't it. The Medlac commander was approximately 7 feet tall and globular. He reminded me of what pulsated and bobbed inside a lava lamp. He had no discernible limbs or facial features, though I had heard him speak. His body quivered and shook, and, in that way, he moved across the ship's deck. He was glowing a bright shade of orange that came and went in pulses like a starburst. I stepped onto the Prowl, and the door closed behind me.
Welcome aboard the Medlac vessel, Braille. I thank you for coming. I'm not sure that I would have fit on your craft.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
You mentioned that you wish to communicate on a matter of some importance.
I do.
Follow me. I will take us to a place where we can speak in private.
The Prowl was impressive in its size. The ceilings rose at least 30 feet high. The entire ship was made of something that was gleaming white. I followed the quivering figure of Commander Venn through a maze of shining corridors. Along the way, I saw dozens of Medlac lining the bulkheads. Some manner of tubing protruded from the walls and was inserted into their ample bodies. Something that looked like an undulating rainbow flowed through the tube and into the Medlac. They emitted a pleasurable noise when this happened. I assumed that this was the feeding that Venn had spoken of, and that what the aliens were digesting was siphoned bits of the sun's energy. Several of the Medlac were smaller than Venn. I saw none taller. They were all glowing in various shades, orange, yellow, red, even black. Venn brought me to what I assumed was a conference room. There was a large table in the center of the chamber, but no chairs. That made sense, since I couldn't imagine how a Medlac might sit.
How may I help you?
I need to speak with you about what you're doing to the sun.
You mean our feeding?
Yes, that's what you called it earlier.
We Medlac live on solar energy, as many other races do on plant and animal matter. It is our nourishment. We absorb the energy of suns to survive. That is our way.
I need you to stop your feeding immediately.
Why is that?
My crew and I are from the third planet of this solar system, a world called Earth.
There are planets here?
Yes, 9 of them.
We saw new worlds on our way in. They must be on the far side of the sun now.
That's possible. Your feeding is causing serious problems for my world. My people rely on the sun for light, power, and warmth. Your feeding is diminishing the sun's output and threatening my planet. Billions of people are being affected. They could die.
We had no idea, Captain.
Then you'll stop your feeding?
No.
What?
You mentioned that your people could die from the diminishing solar output. Many of my crew will die without their feeding.
But...
You no doubt noticed that I am glowing with life. This glow indicates a healthy, fed Medlac. Along the corridors, my crew is taking their sustenance now. When done, they too will have my healthy glow and size. Several of them are dark now. Without feeding, they will certainly die.
Commander, I'm talking about the deaths of billions of people.
We have no desire to harm anyone, but I cannot allow my crew to die when a food source is readily available.
Surely there must be an uninhabited solar system nearby where you could feed.
Many of my crew will not live without immediate sustenance. Further traveling without nourishment is out of the question.
How can you...
Captain, when we are done feeding, we have the means to restore this sun to its normal vigor.
You do?
Yes, it is not a complicated procedure.
When will you be done feeding?
That is difficult to say. Many Medlac take nourishment at slower rates than usual, especially our children. We will be done when we are done.
My world could perish before you finish your feeding.
That is something we hope does not happen. However, I cannot allow my hungry crew to perish for people I have never encountered. When we are done feeding, we will reinvigorate the sun and return it to you, but not before. Now, if you will excuse me, I must tend to my crew's nourishment.
How'd it go, Captain?
Not well. I want to see you and Hamilton in my quarters in 10 minutes. We have a problem.
He didn't care?
No. Ven was more concerned with feeding his own crew on the sun's energy than with all the lives at stake back on Earth.
And there's no way to know when this feeding of theirs will be over?
None. I see no alternative but to stop the Medlac before it's too late.
How?
Did you have a chance to analyze the energy beam they're using to drain the sun?
Enough to know that it's nothing like I've ever seen before.
Could we disable it?
Possibly.
How?
The sensor readings are coming in very slowly. Our equipment wasn't built to analyze this alien contraption. It'll take some time to figure out if we can stop the beam.
We don't have much time. Lieutenant, what are the specifics of the Medlac ship?
It's just over 4 times larger than the Solar One. The hull is made of some type of alloy that the computer can't identify, but it appears to be pretty dense. They're also heavily armed, much more so than we are.
How heavily?
They have 3 visible laser cannons that I've found during my scans.
That rules out fighting them. Will any of that equipment in the hull do us any good?
That's all meant for reinvigorating the sun or stopping what the Earth scientists thought would be the problem. I don't see how we could use any of it to stop the Medlac's draining beam.
How about re-energizing the sun while they're draining it?
Without a more thorough analysis of the beam, I can't know for certain what effect trying that would have. No one at Earth Control expected that the trouble was being caused by an alien vessel.
Well, what's the worst that can happen if we tried it?
An explosion on a scale you've never heard of. The entire sun could nova.
What about a best-case scenario?
At a minimum, we could cause an explosion that would take out the Solar One and the Prail.
Gentlemen, I think that's something we have to consider.
You mean self-destruct?
Billions of people are depending on us. Sacrificing our 50 lives could save them all. It's not my first choice, but I think it's something we have to look into.
Agreed.
Yes, Captain.
I want you to develop a plan, Mr. Hamilton. Figure out how best to destroy the Solar One and take the Prowl with us while leaving the Sun alone.
Yes, sir. That will take about an hour.
You have 30 minutes. The Sun has already degraded to Class F on the Johansson scale.
Understood. If we go through it, Captain, will the Sun regenerate itself after we've gone?
Asher?
That drain beam is affecting the Sun in ways I've never seen before. We can only hope that things will go back to normal once the beam is terminated. We can't know for certain.
Report, Mr. Powers.
No positive change, sir. We're down to Class G now.
Jeez, it's getting cold in here.
Heat's on maximum. What could have happened to the Solar One, Professor?
I wish there was a way we could know, but we've been out of touch since Checkpoint Alpha. Don't give up hope, son. I'm sure they're at the Sun by now. Captain Graham and his people have probably figured out what the problem is and are working on fixing it. I expect it won't be much longer.
I hope you're right.
I know Alan Graham. He's devoted to duty. He'll find a way to fulfill his mission by whatever means necessary.
Brett?
I see no way to kill the drain beam, Captain. The equipment we have on board is simply not meant to be used on alien technology. My diagnosis is that using any of it would do more harm than good.
Then I guess it's time for Plan B. I've notified the rest of the crew about it. Hamilton?
I've set everything up, sir. With one press of this button, the engines will begin to overload. We'll have approximately 1 minute before the explosion. Docked as we are with the Prail, the breach should take both of us out with no further damage to the Sun.
Thank you, Paul. Stand ready.
Yes, Captain.
Should we give the Medlac one more chance?
I don't see why.
If they knew that we're serious enough about this that we're gonna blow up the ship, they might look on things differently.
Or they may try to blow us out of space before we can take them with us.
I have to agree with Paul, Brett. Ven is willing to sacrifice billions of people so his crew can have lunch. I don't think this new development would mean anything to him, and it would cost us and everyone back home the element of surprise. Paul, initiate the self-destruct. Time, Brett?
25 seconds.
It's been an honor serving with both of you.
Likewise.
Captain, I'm getting a signal from Commander Ven aboard the Prail.
He's probably discovered us. Well, he's out of time. Put it on audio, Paul.
Captain Graham, the feeding is nearly complete. As promised, we'll be disengaging our beam very shortly and seeing to the reinvigoration of the Sun to prevent any further harm to your world. Captain? Captain, do you read me?
Paul, shut it!
Professor, they did it!
Ratings, Powers?
The drain is leveled off. Graham and his crew must have fixed the problem. I wonder if they'll be able to re-energize the Sun as well.
One thing at a time. If they can do it, they'll do it. Let's hear it for the Solar One!
What is it, son?
I've lost all contact with the Prail.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Just minutes ago, I had received a message from Commander Ven that they had finished their feeding, reinvigorated the heating sun.
Are you getting anything from them?
Nothing. Their communications link has gone dead, and they're not registering on the Matrix anymore. Do you think something may have gone wrong with that star drive?
It's possible, but I sense something more sinister. Then mention how their captain wouldn't listen to reason about the feeding. Nothing has happened to the Prail during her dozens of missions for the homeworld. Until she met up with the Solar One.
Do you believe the Earth people may have destroyed the Prail and her crew because of the feeding?
I do. From what Ven said, the Earth captain believed the Sun was the property of his planet. He must have believed that destroying the Prail would stop the drain of that sun.
You may be right, sir.
Ready every available ship for a possible counterstrike on Earth, Zon.
Right away!
If the people of Earth had anything to do with the destruction of the Prail, we'll drain their sun dry.
Johansson, Powers, and the rest of the people back on Earth had better enjoy their celebration now, because it looks like it is going to be short-lived. I'm not sure how long the trip is from Medlac to Earth, but when the aliens arrive, we Earth people will have some serious explaining to do.
Thank you for listening to Partly Sunny, another audio production. Partly Sunny is written by Mike Murphy and post-produced by April Sadowski. Narrator is Anthony Lopez. Lieutenant Paul Hamilton is Jason Vertusio. Captain Ellen Graham is Terry Cooper. Novak is Tanya Milovich. Science Officer Brett Asher is played by David Cole. Carl Powers is played by Arclight. Professor Johansson is played by Russell Gold. The President is played by Elise Crowick. General Maddox is played by Scott Fortney. The voice is Carly Chia. Commander Venn is River Knopf. Zahn is played by S. Davis. And Trad is played by Glenn Haskell. For more out-of-this-world audio drama, visit nother.us.